This time I'm going to ask the ushers, the deacons, those that will be serving communion, if you would come and stand, please, and get ready to share. It's Good Friday. Amen. It is a celebration of our redemption, of our forgiveness, of God's love for us. The scripture said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And it's on this day that we remember and we commemorate the fact that not only did he give him to come here and set an example for us, to show us the way, to show us the path that we're to walk in, but he came to be that sacrifice once and for all so that there never have to be another animal, another lamb, another ox, another dove that would be sacrificed for the sins of people, but he would be the ultimate sacrifice. One sacrifice for all time, for all people who put their trust and their faith in him. If you're a part of our church family, you know how we do communion. If you're not and you're visiting this evening, we invite you to join us in communion. The only stipulation that the Word of God gives, it isn't necessarily that you belong to a particular church or denomination, but that you belong to Jesus himself, that you are forgiven, that your sins have been washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, that you know that you're a child of God, that you have asked Jesus to come into your heart and life and to heal you. And if you haven't done that, I don't know a better time than right now. While we share communion, we're going to share the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ together. And if you have not asked Christ into your heart, before we take communion this evening, this would be the perfect time, right where you're at, to say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge, because your word says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, I acknowledge that I too, Lord, am a sinner in need of your forgiveness, and I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me and wash me, and maybe you're thinking, oh, I haven't been that bad a person. Trust me. When you understand what the Bible says about sin and about how it can destroy our relationship with God, you'll know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But because Jesus loved us, because he went to the cross and died for us, a door has been opened and a way has been made for the worst of sinners. And the man that said that was a man who, before his conversion to Christ, had went around actually killing Christians, thinking he was doing the right thing. So it doesn't matter where you've come from, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what's going on in your life, there's a new beginning and a new start in Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you haven't gotten that new start yet, or if you did start and somehow got sidetracked, this is the time that the Father in heaven, through his Son, says, come on back home, and you can do it as we share communion together. Now, those that are going to serve communion, if you'll come, they'll show you how to get out and receive the communion elements. But I want you to take the elements and then go back to your seat and hold on to them because we're going to take them together. All right, you just worship before the Lord as Shay and Matt come to worship with you.
So as you come and receive these elements and go back and sit down, as you're holding these and or you're listening to these words, think of what you're holding and listen to these words and how it just speaks to communion.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me.
the overwhelming, reckless love of God that reached out to you and reached out to me. We're another year closer to being home. I want to share some scripture with you before we share communion together. In Mark chapter 14, verse 12, I think they're going to put it up here. If not, it's okay, I'm going to read it to you. It says, on the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed. And you have to understand something. We time our days from sunrise to sunrise. You know, that's how we look at the day. The Jews don't do that, and they didn't do it in Jesus' day. They looked at it from sunset one evening to sunset the next evening. And this was the first day of unleavened bread. And Jesus would be sharing what we call the Last Supper with his disciples. They would then leave the upper room where they were after having sung a hymn, the Bible said, together. And they would go to the Garden of Gethsemane. I shared with you Sunday, we kind of looked at the days from when Jesus entered Jerusalem and the children were crying Hosanna, and he had went back on that fourth day. He had went back to Bethany, the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And he had spent one day seemingly of rest and sabbatical rest. But now he knew that the end was near, and he would meet with his disciples on that first evening, that the Passover lamb the next day would be sacrificed. In fact, during the night, while Jesus was being tried by Pilate and being tried by Herod, and he was being tried by the Sanhedrin, he was the Lamb of God standing before the religious leaders of his day. And at the very exact hour that they were doing that, there were priests that were in charge of inspecting a corral of lambs to make sure they were without spot and without blemish, and that they would be ready to be sacrificed and their blood poured out to make atonement for the nation of Israel. And all of these things were happening simultaneously. While they're inspecting those lambs, the authorities are inspecting Jesus, who is the real Lamb of God. And when I first realized that and was taught that and understood that, I thought how close we can get to God and to seeing the kingdom of God, but if we're not careful, we can still miss it. The scripture goes on and says, his disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, the teacher says, where is my guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he himself will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Prepare for us there. The disciples went out and came to the city, and they found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came, and with the 12, as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, truly I say to you that one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. And they began to be grieved and to say to him one by one, surely not I. And he said to them, it is one of the 12, one who dips with me in the bowl. For the Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. As I shared with you Sunday, we were either in the crowd of those crying Hosanna, or we would be in the crowd of those saying, crucify him, crucify him. And likewise, as we sit here before the Lord this evening, we are either among those who want to love him and to worship him and to make him the center and leader of our lives, or like one that sat at the table with him on that night. We don't want to serve him. We don't want to live for him. Our hearts are that we would betray him if we had the opportunity. And see, each one of us has to make that choice in our lives. And we have to make it not just once. We have to make it every second, every moment of our lives, as long as we have breath. But it went on and it said, while they were eating, He took some bread, and after he blessed it, he broke it. I want you to take this little wafer of unleavened bread in your hand right now, and I want you to lift it up with me. And we're going to pray over it, and then we're going to break it, and then we're going to eat it. Heavenly Father, we just come before you on this Good Friday. When we remember the torture, the suffering, the crucifixion, and the sacrifice of your Son for each and every one of us. God, that your love would be set on each one of us by name. And Jesus, I know in my heart that as you hung there on that cross, you saw the face of every individual seated in this room tonight. You saw their lives. You saw their struggles. You saw, God, what the enemy of their souls would seek to do to each and every one of them. And for the joy that was set before you, and because we would be lost and without hope and without God for time and eternity, you endured the suffering of the cross. You allowed your body to be broken that we could be made whole, Lord God. Father, help every person in this room to realize that if they were the only person in existence, that your love for them is that passionate and that great. And that you do leave the 99, Lord God. Each one of us are a testimony of how you leave the 99 and you go after the one. And so tonight, Lord Jesus, as we take this bread, we give thanks from the bottom of our hearts for your love, for your healing, for the drawing of your Holy Spirit that drew us to your Son and to salvation in you. And we give thanks, Lord God. Let's break it and eat it together. Hallelujah, Father. Lord, in this stillness and in this quiet, you are here. Lord, we thank you and praise you and worship you tonight. We honor you, O God. We worship you, Lamb of God. We lift our hearts. We lift our lives. We lift our being to you. And thank you, O God, for redeeming us, for saving us, for healing us, Lord God. We worship you with all the saints in heaven and God with all the saints across this nation tonight. We lift our hearts up before your throne and ask God that you would receive our praises and our worship as a sweet-smelling savor, O Lord. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit of God. We bless you and we praise you. Scripture goes on to say that after supper was ended, if you read the book of John, and I never get tired of sharing this because it's just such an awesome moment. For almost 2,000 years up to the time of Jesus, Israel, the Jews, had shared the Passover with this Passover meal that Jesus and his disciples had had. And during the whole time, there was a cup that was in the center of the table that was turned upside down that nobody was allowed to touch, and it had been turned upside down for almost 2,000 years. It was called the cup of the Messiah, the cup of Yeshua. And in John we read that when supper was ended, Jesus took the cup, picked it up, turned it over, and said, "This drink and this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness and the remission of sins." I can imagine, like children on a Christmas morning, those disciples, you know, sat there bug-eyed and wide-eyed, and because they probably, maybe for the very, very first time, we're starting to get an inkling of who and what Jesus really was. That he was the Messiah, that he was the Savior, that he was the Redeemer of all mankind. And then Jesus told them, and he tells us, he said, do this in remembrance of me. That's why we share communion. And he said, as often as you do this, remember my death and my sacrifice, but also remember that I'm coming back one day, that I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back again so that where I am, there you can be also. And he made a way for every person, whosoever will. The gates of heaven were opened, a way to get back into relationship with God that each and every one of us need. And that's what this cup represents. It represents that shed blood that was shed for every mistake, every wrong, every sin that you've ever committed and that I've ever committed, so that you and I, by faith, can come to the cross of Jesus Christ and be forgiven and be healed and be cleansed and be a child of God, and know that the condition the world is in and the chaos is in, it doesn't matter, because we belong to Jesus Christ, who is coming back for us one day. Take that cup and hold it up, and we're going to pray over it together. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We come in the name of our great high priest who has entered into the Holy of Holies, not the one made with man's hands, but Father, the Holy of Holies in heaven itself. Lord, the one who poured out your blood as a sacrifice for each and every one of us. And Lord, we come to you tonight once again to pray and to ask that a spiritual checkup be done in our hearts and in our lives, O God. Father, we come to confess that, Lord, we can fail you. We can make mistakes, Lord. We can sin against you, Father. But God, when we come in repentance, when we come as children asking, when we come to lay out our hearts and lives before you, there is forgiveness, there is cleansing, there is healing. There are mercies that are new every morning, and this blood avails, Lord God, and will avail for our lives and throughout all eternity. And Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blood that cleanses, the blood that heals, the blood that empowers. And Lord, it's my prayer tonight that every one of us that take this cup, Lord God, I pray for forgiveness, I pray for mercy, I pray for healing in our bodies, in our spirits, and in our minds. I pray, oh God, that we once again would just be filled with your Spirit, anointed in the presence of the Lord. And God, that you would just set our feet on the path straight, that straight and narrow gate for you, Lord God. Father, this fruit of the vine that we drink in this cup, let it be healing in all of those things, we pray, and bless it to our lives as we take it together. Let's take it, church. Oh, God. God, we thank you. Again, we praise you and worship you. We lift our hearts up before you, oh God. And say thank you. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for showing us the way. Thank you, God. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' holy name. Church, I'm going to ask you to stand if you can. That great pastor, Billy Graham, who's gone on to be with the Lord, somebody asked him one time, they said, Reverend Graham, what is the greatest truth that you found in the Bible? And this is what he said. He said that Jesus would love even me. Even me. Even me. That is the greatest truth in the Bible, and it's true for each and every one of us. When they were finished sharing communion, they shared a hymn. We're not doing a hymn, at least not tonight. But we are going to worship him. Amen. You guys have been worshiping him tonight. It's awesome to be up here and to hear your voices lifted up before the Lord, to see your hands, and sometimes even your heart. You can see it on your face. He is worthy of our worship. Amen. Let's worship him.
Where all the love I've ever
And what an honor it has been for us to serve you communion and to worship with you tonight. What an honor and privilege it has been for us. As we go home, why don't we take extra time tonight and tomorrow and just maybe take some time to pray and to worship God and to read His Word. Because I know the pastor is going to have an anointed message when we come in Sunday. The praise team is going to be ready. Why don't we be ready and expecting something from God? Why don't we come with our best praise on this Sunday? See what mighty things God will do in the midst of us. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you and we glorify your name. Father, we know the Word said today's Friday, but we know Sunday's on the way, your resurrection day. Father, we look forward to worshiping you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and spirit on Sunday, Lord God. It's every day, Lord God, but especially this Sunday. Father, we thank you that you came and you died on the cross on Mount Calvary to save us from our sins. Father, bless the people now. Father, make them the head and not the tail. Bless them as they come in and bless them as they go out. Father, prosper them in all that they do. Father, anoint them. Let there be great signs, wonders, and miracles follow them all the days of their life. Father, I speak divine health over every person in this room tonight, Lord God. And Father, let us always give you all the praise and the glory and honor. You're an awesome God, and we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. God bless you.